that was God just telling me, like, baby girl, I just want to be with you. Like, does it have to be at 4:45? No. Do I want to meet you at 4:45? Sure. But I think that relationship with God and him giving me the freedom to meet with him at a different time, still morning, still, and maybe not. I've done it at night, and that sometimes fills me up too. But the whole concept, Gail, and let's just kind of circle back around, give him your first.
Exactly.
Welcome to the Seek First CEO podcast, a community for high-achieving kingdom women committed to seeking God first and keeping God first in all we do. If you believe you're called to impact the world through your gifts, then you're in the right place. Hi, friend. I'm Heather, teacher turned speaker and your host of the Seek First CEO podcast. I'm passionate about helping ambitious, servant-hearted women find their worth in whose they are, not what they do. As a certified master neuroscience life coach, I help you connect the dots between biblical principles and brain science so you can take your thoughts captive and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't do surface, so we go deep here, and we talk about the stuff underneath the surface because I want to help you get to the source of your heart set and mindset roadblocks so you can have breakthrough by aligning your heart and mind with biblical truths. If your heart's desire is to grow in your relationship with Jesus while fearlessly fulfilling your purpose and calling, then let's open up the Word together and see what the Holy Spirit has to say about living your life in flow with Him. Are you ready? Then get excited for today's episode. Hello, sister friend. I have a treat for you today. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you might recognize this guest, but I couldn't help but bring her back because she is such a gift. And what she has such an anointing for is leading people into intimacy with the Lord. And that is something that so many of the women that I work with are like, I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord. I want to hear his voice more. I want to be able to know what he's speaking to me. And she has just such a gift in helping you do that, not just from this theoretical way, but a very practical way. And so I am going to welcome my friend, Gail Root. Welcome back to the Seek First CEO podcast.
Thank you, Heather. It's always a joy to be with you, and I'm privileged and honored to be here.
Yeah. Well, we connected on Facebook years ago, and I just love everything that you do. And like I said, you've been on the show before, so I highly encourage you to go back and listen to the previous episode with Gail. But today, I'm so excited to talk with you about your new book, Master Your Morning and Change Everything. It's 6-step practice to life transforming intimacy with Jesus. First of all, like, congratulations for publishing a book. That's a really big stinking deal.
Well, thank you. And it's funny because, well, anybody who's probably written a book, when you feel called to do something like that with the Lord, it's like, okay, no, I did not hear that. That clearly was not from you, Lord. And then, you know, the tap continues, the Holy Spirit little loving tap continues. And finally, it's like, okay.
Okay, so tell the ladies listening, and we do have a few gentlemen too, but tell them, how did this book even come about?
Yeah. Well, so honestly, born from desperation, really, if I'm really being honest, and I don't know that I've ever said that before, as many times as I've done, you know, podcast interviews about the book, because I was at a stage of my life where I was, you know, I was running a couple businesses, the boys were in that middle school, high school range, and I had been taking anxiety medication for 10 years. I wanted off, but was afraid to get off because I kind of did this emotional roller coaster thing and felt like it wasn't fair to the people around me. So stay on the medication, Gail. But I was also having some other physical things started to happen. And I really was crying out like, okay, Lord, hello, do you see me here? I need help. And all I can tell you, Heather, is I was not in the habit at that time of believing that I truly would hear from the Lord on a daily basis. Sure, I maybe would get a word from him in church. I'd maybe get a word from him, you know, reading at my Bible study. I'd get a word from him in scripture. I'd get a confirmation through someone of something that he said. But actually feeling like I'm truly hearing his guidance on a daily basis, uh-uh. But I literally heard him say, because I was crying out, what do I do? And I literally heard him say, I've got this amazing life plan for you. and you're missing it. And he said, you are creating, this is self-induced anxiety. And he said, and I told you what to do. And it, this was the part that this was the, it was the most loving, tender voice that said, I've told you what to do and you're not doing it. And I, all I can tell you is in that moment, every fiber of my being knew what exactly what the Holy Spirit meant. Seek me first. You're not seeking me first. And I also knew in that moment that it wasn't like some theoretical seek me first, as I had been doing in my walk as a believer for many, many years. It was a literally, Gail, I want you to wake up every morning and make me first. Not your agenda, not your to-do list, not even your prayers, not even where you want to go in scripture. I want you to lay it all down and make me first. And so that's really, Heather, where it all started.
That is beautiful. And thank you for sharing. Yeah, that's so, so good. And we're all wired for relationship with God, right? That's literally what he wants. When we hear that religion versus relationship and it's relationship, it is, but it like really, really is. And I appreciate you sharing, just as I know you've been a believer for a long time, that this was birthed out of, right, your desire, your hunger, your desperation for more, because well, like we know that that is really like there's something deep inside of us. It's our spirit. Like I think our spirit knows that's where we're going to get the satisfaction. So for the woman who does devotionals, for the woman who does that quiet time but is not hearing from God, what would, or and let me just back up.
Yeah.
I always say, stop saying, because I've said that before. I'm just not hearing his voice. I'm not hearing his voice. We have to stop saying that because if we are his sheep, we hear his voice. That's what scripture says. And so when we start saying we don't hear it, our brain is always thinking, we want to confirm that belief. Well, I just don't hear from him. Maybe he doesn't love me. Maybe he doesn't talk to me the same way he talks to her. And by the way, God does talk to all of us. I think he knows our bends. He knows how we're wired and how we're more perceptive to him. But for the woman who feels like she is just not getting like that good time with him, what would you say to her?
Yeah. So, well, there's usually two things when people, because it is, it's a small how-to book. Mm-hmm. The six steps are in there. It's filled with testimonials. It's summaries, how to prepare, what the steps are, summaries of the steps, frequently asked questions, but it's really short because the point is to go do the six steps, not to be reading the book. So it's to go spend time with the Lord. And what I always, there's usually a couple questions come most common. The first is, well, I am reading scripture in the morning. I do have my devotional time, but I don't trust that I'm hearing from the Lord. Well, how do I deal with that, Gail? And so for me, it is exactly what you said. I literally, in step one is surrender. And it is saying, I will make space for you, Lord. And I will declare that I am hearing your voice. As you said, my sheep know my voice. And so I literally will say, I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord, just to bring my mind back because the mind wanders. That's what the mind does. And so just, I hear you, Lord. And it is standing on that truth that regard, I don't know when I'm going to hear you. I don't know from where I'm going to hear you. I don't know what resource, person, scripture, word in my spirit from where, but I am hearing you because that's who you are. Yeah. Not who I am. That's who you are. And so it's just growing. And as you do that every morning and you do it first, he shows up.
So our brain is always looking for evidence to confirm what we believe. And you saying that right there, I hear you. I hear you, God. I hear you. Oh, I love that. It's so simple.
It is.
Right? And it's so powerful. Yeah. Okay. So now that we are believing that we hear God and our brain is like, I mean, God speaks to me a lot through nature, a lot through scripture, but a lot through alliteration, just all kinds of fun things. Like I've just learned to grow that that's how he speaks to me. Cause this is a question I get a lot. So I'll ask this to you. How do you discern whether it's your voice or God's voice? How do you discern whether it's like God's will or your will? Do you have any advice on that?
Well, yeah. And I think this is, again, I think it's easier than we make it, because God tells us clearly he doesn't want this. This is intimacy. This is relationship. And therefore, it's not going to be difficult to discern, is this God's will? Well, why, Gail? Why is it difficult? Because we know his character. We know his nature. His word is filled with the truth of who he is, his nature and his character. So all I have to do if something comes is stack it up against, is this his nature? Is this his will? You know, am I discerning? Am I hearing something that is in, or you could say it this way, that is not in conflict with his nature? And what I do, because I don't, you know, sometimes it's that we have that blessed assurance that he is speaking, that is, but he also says, move. If you think, Gail, that this is my will and you stacked it up against my word, trust that. If I want to if you step forward, trust that I will redirect you. Sometimes I'll say, okay, Lord, I'm moving forward here, but I trust you. You are going to put up a big detour sign, or you're going to close a door right in my nose, whatever you need to do. If this is not, if I have misheard, or I can move in complete trust that you will redirect me. So I can have peace. I don't have to stay in this anxious. Because that is never his will for us.
Yes, yes. And I think about that, our brains are wired for safety. And so especially depending on our idea of who God is, like if we think that he is out to get us, or if he just wants to catch us in our sin, or, you know, we have to like follow his will to 100%, there could be a lot of fear in, and no, none of us want to disappoint our Father, right? But there can be a paralyzing fear of that. And I love what you said. I'm moving forward because I don't have that clear no. And I think sometimes we're always looking for that clear yes, when I don't think God usually gives us a clear, sometimes he does, right? I've had those moments where it's like, okay, this does not make any sense, but I'm going to trust you. But I think often because we are not robots, we are royalty.
Yeah.
In his eyes, like we're not these robots. And he's like, I want them to just do the thing. They have power and authority that I've given them because Jesus, that's what he came for. And so a lot of what I work with my clients is learning how to trust themselves. And I don't think it's just, again, it's not learning how to trust. Well, the church focuses so much on like sinful nature and like your own like evil. And I believe that if we focused on our holiness and our righteousness and how God sees us, we would start operating much differently, recognizing that we really are chosen, set apart, royalty, and we have authority. And yes, we want to always be in alignment with him and his will, but I think we have more freedom than we think.
Yes.
Would you agree
with that? It's so true. And absolutely. And, you know, literally what one of the fruits. So that second thing that people ask all the time is, you know, if I have my things already, why would I do this? Well, it's always, what is the fruit? And what I had to be confronted with, and where that desperation came from, is I'm going to church. I believe in the Lord. I'm praying daily. I'm reading his word. I'm going to Bible study. I'm checking all the boxes, Lord. But where is this fruit? Where is this deep? So, and for me, the six steps are building me, they all build on each other. Prepare, the goal of them, yes, is intimacy with the Lord, but for what purpose? So that I'm living as a daughter of the King in my day. It's preparing me for this mastering my day, meaning from a kingdom perspective. You know, as a daughter of the King, I get to go master my day. I get to move in courage. I get to move in faith. I get to move in joy and truly live the kingdom life. And it was discovering that I was very comfortable, you know, talking about that church culture and, you know, that religion culture that says I might be comfortable that I am a child of God, But girl, I was not comfortable that I was a daughter of the king. And that right there, I think, just breaks the Lord's heart. And you know, we are daughters of the king. How does that truth show up in your life? And that really was my motivation for, my motivation was to get out of the pain I was in and start seeking him first. And I had no idea where it was going to take me. But then once I discovered, then it was like, I have to share this with others. We need to wake up as Christian women, as believers, that there is this kingdom life, vibrant joy, energy. Does it mean that there aren't struggles and difficulties? You and I prayed before this call and had an intimate conversation. You know, there are very difficult things at times, very painful things, but we grow in our intimacy with the Lord and we walk as a daughter of the King.
Yes. So good. So good. I know for me personally, where I've grown in my relationship with the Lord the most, it's in the valley. It's in the hard stuff. And while I don't wish that on myself, and I don't wish that on people, when I think of Psalm 23, which is my life passage, I am so grateful for those seasons of walking in that valley and having those tools to hear his voice. Because it's so necessary. But it's necessary for the mountaintop to hear his voice. Yeah. And it's so necessary for the valley and us ambitious, high performing, high achieving women. My goodness, it is necessary to hear it as we're walking up that mountain again. Exactly. So what would be your, I'm fascinated by the title, Master Your Morning. And I often talk with clients about your morning starts at night, right? Like what you do at night to prepare for the morning really matters. Man, I feel like I work with women and mothers. We have a lot on our plates, but that morning time is so, for me, it's so crucial. And I know that if I miss the morning, God's okay with that. And I can meet with him at any point throughout the day. Right. But we see Jesus meeting with the Father, getting up early to do that. And so for that woman who is really struggling, she's going to get your book because she's like, I need that. But she's really struggling with like getting up and she's really struggling with that. What would you say to her?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Well, first, when I did this, my boys were not littles, but they were home. So certainly it's, and I'm just going to be transparent. I'm 57 years old. Most of the women I work with are in the second half of life.
Gail has the good genes, y'all. Like go check her out on social. She would know she's 57.
Yeah, but we, thank you, sweet Heather, but I have more time, but then not when I started this. And so what I had to do, there is, I encourage a hour practice and that's 10 minutes each step, but I say, do a 5 minute each step and make it a 30 minute practice. And then if you're absolutely desperate, do 1 minute each step, because all of us have 6 minutes for the Lord in the morning. But I had to get up before. So I was teaching a class. I was getting a kid off onto the bus. The others were driving. And so I needed to get up an hour before I was going to be needed in the morning. And it was rough some mornings because when I woke up, my brain was spinning already. Before my feet hit the floor, I was already in full Gail mode. What was I going to do? What did I have to do? What was I going to forget? What, you know, and it was just this, really just this obsession with self-idolatry, trying to make sure I was being the perfect wife, the mother, checking the boxes, doing all the things, and having no idea that my eyes weren't on Jesus at all. I treated him like a consultant, like, okay, help. I've tried all the things. I need you. Help. So fast forward to the practice, and for these moms that are, you know, all I can tell you is set the alarm, make the commitment, give it 6 months, give it 2 weeks, and you're going to be blown away at what's happening in your life. And it's just that, it's just saying, you know what? Will I make God first this morning? Or will I get up again and let the all of the things take over? My life, my day, my mind, my heart, my spirit, or will I say, no, I will start with you first, Lord. I will make space for you. I will get into fellowship with you. I will hear your voice. I will work and prepare for my day. So now I go into my day, so much more peace, clarity, joy, effectiveness. Yeah. Ability to have rest.
Giving him space to fill us up so that we overflow.
Yes.
It's really so simple.
It is. There's nothing difficult about it. It's just sometimes new perspective, new lenses, new commitment. But yeah, there's nothing difficult. Well, the discipline.
Yes.
The discipline is what's difficult.
Yeah, let's talk about that word.
Obedience.
That dirty D word. No. Well, actually, let's talk about that because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives us love, sound mind, and depending on which translation you read, but it's discipline. He gives us discipline. So I think so often we as humans try to muster it up ourselves. And actually that's like more motivation and determination, but that we can rely on the Holy Spirit to give us that discipline. And we partner with him because his goal is to, I mean, he is the connector, right? He is the, I want to be intimate with you. I want to speak to you. I'm living inside of you. My goodness. Like, let's not be like roommates. Let's do life together. I'm going to put myself on blast here just for a second because I have a pretty good self-discipline routine. And my husband and I actually, so I like to get up early and do my own quiet time. And then at 6:30, about 30 minutes before my kiddos get up to get ready for school, my husband and I meet for 30 minutes. And we like to just have that 30 minutes of time. And that was birthed out of me feeling like we have no time for each other. And we've got to carve out that time. So that looks like me getting up at 5:30.
Yes.
And then me having that hour for myself from 5:30 to 6:30. And then that 30 minutes of intimacy with my husband, it's important to me. And today, so Thursdays and Fridays, I go to the gym at 6. So I have to leave my house. It's like I get up. I don't get up at 5 on those days and do my quiet time. One, I think it's probably because like I don't have the whole hour. And so it's like, I don't really know. Do I want to get up at 4:30? Do I want to get up at 4:45?
Yeah.
So I typically do it after the gym. What would you say to the person that maybe has that kind of a schedule? Like, do you think that's robbing God of that? Or do you think getting up that 15 or 30 minutes extra is worth it? And I don't think there's a right or wrong. Yes. I just know from you practicing this,
yes.
What would you say to me? What would you say to me? Like, hey, Heather, like, would it be really that hard to get up 15 to 30 minutes earlier and then get that? Or, hey, totally cool. God would love to meet you at 9:00. It's okay for that too.
So what I always say is, you know, and I heard a pastor say this once and it's so powerful, you know, don't be anyone's Holy Spirit. First of all, we can't be. So don't try. And so I never with anything, you know, whenever you hear me saying something, this is my experience, my truth, what Lord in my personal life, I'm not talking about big T truth. I'm talking about little T truths. But you mentioned, you know, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us and that self-control. So for me, and this isn't for everybody, but for me, that discipline, I felt heavy, meaning in a good way. I'm not heavy laden. I'm talking about, I felt a presence from the Lord saying, do this first every morning. Mm-hmm. That was what the Lord was asking me to do. He was asking for my discipline. He was asking for my obedience. He was asking me to trust him. Even if I didn't see fruit, keep going. I would hear him say, keep going. There's more coming. And so many times I wanted to quit, Heather. But to the person who says, well, it's too hard for me in the morning to get up. You know, I would just challenge and say, like, I need to sleep, Gail. I need to sleep. And some people will say, well, I'm a night owl. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you wake up, the point is we all wake up. Praise Jesus. So whenever you wake up, that's your morning. Make him first. How you do that, that's between you and the Lord. If you can do it in a more disciplined way and that brings fruit, if you're one of these people who like, just, you know, it is, you're thinking, I can't follow these steps like this. That will put me into a performance anxiety, right? Well, then that clearly for you wouldn't be, you'd have to find, how do I make this be life and fruit and intimacy with the Lord? But if it's an excuse like, oh, I want to go do this, or I need to go do that, or I didn't have time today, I forgot. Well, that's where we say, okay, well, wait a minute. Is God, is God going to be first? I literally, early on, I would literally hear him say, "You're going to make me first." And just that loving, playful, it became this playful reminder that I want you, Gail. I want you to come have intimacy. And why does God want us to have intimacy with him, Heather? Because he's the one who knows the life, the amazing life he wants us to live that we can't live because we can't get the direction, the courage, the wisdom, the strength to do what he's calling us to do if we're not in intimacy with him. So we're missing out on this amazing life. So the point is, he wants the intimacy with us, but it's for us.
Yeah.
It's for us.
The audacity of him to like want to hang out with us, right?
The audacity of him to want to give us this amazing life and the audacity of him to think that I have to sit with him in order to get the direction.
Yeah.
And the courage and the wisdom to do it.
Right. And I think that's also why we're built with that hunger, that desire. But we have lived lives, I know I have, of filling that hunger with other things.
Oh, right? So many things.
And things that satisfy temporarily. But at the end of the day, it's not satisfying. It doesn't satiate. It doesn't actually. And for me, in my own personal walk, I used to do like Jesus calling, and I love those short devotionals that like, oh, but that was my journey with the Lord until I realized that I wasn't, I call that the $5 fill up. And this is no shame on anyone who's doing that. God loves that you're giving him 5 minutes. Just like Gail said, hey, if you can't do the full hour, start with 5 minutes, start with 10 minutes, start with something small. But I think, you know, it's taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? He wants to get you a taste so that you have that desire and that craving. And as I was doing little mini stuff like a Jesus calling, I was hungry for more. And I call that the $5 fill up. I don't know, Gail, have you ever been in a season of your life where you only had $5 to fill up your gas tank? And like, it only gets you so far, right?
Right.
And so God wants to fill us full to overflow. And there's, again, this is no shame on how long you spend time with the Lord. In fact, I had a whole year of God's, I said, God, I want to hear you outside of my set apart quiet time. I want to hear you when I'm driving. I want to hear you when I'm in the shower. I want to hear you when I'm going on walks because man, am I limiting you to this like hour that I'm spending with you when you are in and you want to do life with me?
Yes.
That quiet time certainly sets me up for, I hear you. I heard you in the morning. I will hear you at night. But I love the point that you brought up. And I want to circle back to this is, I call this is biblical conviction versus like personal. And I do think that when we are anointed and we have a message to carry, and I just want to honor you in this, that you have a message to carry and you're sharing it like fully what it is. And also saying like, I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm not your counselor and your advocate and your guide. Like, go to the Lord.
Yes.
And I think that's really beautiful because religion can make it only sound like it has to be one way.
Exactly.
And it's interesting as I asked you the question, and I'm so thankful for your answer because it actually allowed me to like, as you're talking, I'm reflecting, I'm thinking, well, I know I've personally had a misconception of God, more or less being like, you have to get it right in perfectionism. I grew up in a very perfectionism environment. And it's interesting to me that as you share that this is your personal conviction, it was like biblical. You must get up in the morning and you have to, and that you need to, although we do see Jesus doing that. But it's like, I was like, oh yeah, that was God just telling me like, baby girl, I just want to be with you. Like, does it have to be at 4:45? No. Do I want to meet you at 4:45? Sure. But I think it's that relationship with God and him giving me the freedom to meet with him at a different time, still morning, still, and maybe not. I've done it at night and that sometimes fills me up too. But the whole concept, Gail, and let's just kind of circle back around, give him your first.
Exactly. And the whole point of the first, so I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur since I was a child, grew up in a direct sales family, had a direct sales business, network marketing business. And when God called me to coach, we have a brick and mortar business. And I was like, okay, Lord, no, I don't need to be doing another thing. But this is a mission and a movement. And the reason why I mention that is because I believe that God has kingdom assignments for all of us. Mm-hmm. And you know, so one of my clients said to me yesterday, we were on a call, and she said, Gail, I know God has called me that I have something special to do. And I said, you know, I love that you said that, but I want to pull back for a second. You have something special to do because that's who God is. Everything God does is special. Everything God does is amazing. And so if he's called you to do something, it is special and amazing. And what I knew intuitively was if I wasn't going to grow in my intimacy with him, I was not going to be able to walk out in my business, the assignments with the courage, the wisdom, the strategy that I was going to need. Mm-hmm. And so I used to feel ashamed that part of my desire to sit with him in the morning was for that wisdom, that strategy. But as long as my heart is still fixed on him, my eyes on you, Lord, you know, I'm here for the intimacy with you, but you also know that I'm here for that wisdom and strategy that you need to give me so that I can step into the fullness with the courage that you called me to. And, so the point is, whatever we're walking out in our life, I want to grow, like we grow with a friend, we want to grow in our trust of his love for us. But if we have an assignment on our life, which I believe we all do, we need wisdom, we need strategy, we need courage, we need strength to be able to walk that out. And that really was, you know, where the six steps come in and why they prepare me for the day so that I can walk as the businesswoman that he's calling me to, rather than showing up with a lot of the orphan mindset, the religious mindset, that poverty, that lack, you know? So
good. So good. Yes. I love it. Okay. Where can we find your book?
Amazon. Okay. Amazon, of course. Yes. GailRoot.com. All the things there, but Amazon, Master Your Morning and Change Everything.
I love it. Yes. Because really, I think, Gail, you are a living example of this. You have learned how to master your morning and it's changed. It's changed everything. And so you can just like, it's not just a cute slogan on a book. Like it's literally the life that you walk. And I am so honored to know you. So if you want to go follow Gail, obviously you can find her on social media, go to GailRoot.com, go to Amazon.com, get your Master Your Morning and Change Everything. 6-step practice to life, transforming intimacy with Jesus. I adore you. I don't normally do this, but I feel led to do this. Would you mind closing us out with a prayer? I always do these on my solo episodes, but I have never done this on a guest, but I feel like I'm supposed to ask you if you would pray over the listener that's listening to this today.
I'd be honored to. Thank you, Heather. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for Heather. Thank you for her heart, her family, her mission, her ministry, her business, Lord. Thank you for the favor and anointing that you've given her, the way she overflows, the way she shows up as that servant leader, serves powerfully, helps transform women's lives, families, marriages, relationships with their children, their businesses. Lord, I thank you for the woman who's listening. Please, Lord, right now, give her hope, give her courage, give her the ability to know a deeper joy with you that transcends any circumstance that might be in front of her. Lord, help her to know that you have an amazing life plan for her, and all you ask is for her to grow in that intimacy so that you can be her daily guide and sometimes hourly guide. Lord, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for loving us the way you do. It is mind-blowing that we get to be daughters of the King. In your precious name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.